Take me back to the wide open places. Let me bask neath the bright neon light. Let me see those sunray faces in the wide open places that are open, open all night. Yes, yes. You can
There we go. God damn.
What are you trying to do?
Fix my mouse, dude. My shit is falling apart.
What the fuck? I thought you bought a new fucking mouse.
No.
What?
I only bought... I have awesome peripherals. I only needed the tower.
Oh.
I took my awesome peripherals with me.
That's... Obviously, that's not true because your mouse is falling apart.
It's not falling apart. It was just... I have special weights that go...
Okay.
Bottom of the mouse, and they were falling out. So I
sounds like horseshit.
Fix that shit.
It sounds like horseshit.
Perfectly weighted.
Okay. A perfectly weighted mouse?
Yes.
You're such a
For
fucking...
gaming.
You're such a fucking knob. You're such
it's
a
so
knob.
Responsive to my inputs.
Oh my god!
Do you have a heavy mouse? Is that what's up?
I have I have weights in my mouse.
He's
I
an adaptive
adjust.
Mouse.
What?
I can adjust
the weights.
Of,
yes.
You what? Are such a chunder.
Yes, dude.
Oh my god! I should beat your ass.
It's just for that.
What? Beat the shit out of
the
you.
Shit is badass.
How do I?
Thing you've ever said.
How do I put weights in my mouse? How do I get that?
You gotta buy a special gaming mouse.
Damn it! It's got a weight tray. It's got a weight.
It's got a weight tray.
Yes, and you fill it with different, if different grams of.
We should
weight.
Be recording this. This is so
oh,
bad.
I've been recording this whole time. This is how we're starting off. This is the greatest thing ever. So.
Dude, I love my mouse. What are you talking about?
Don't Hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. This is episode, what are we on, 46?
46.
We're on 46.
Yes, I have a weight tray in my mouse.
We're the Schmaltz Brothers. We're geeks. We're brothers. It's kind of in the name.
Have you ever touched a boob?
Why, yes. Yes, I have.
I hope so.
He's definitely touched two. So.
I have three children. Yes, I've touched
Okay.
Three.
Maybe well, maybe know. He went this whole time without touching her boobs.
Maybe.
This whole time.
Oh, my God.
He made three kids,
gonna,
didn't touch boobs.
I am not going to say a word about anything.
Okay.
Respect.
Yeah, we should
respect.
Like,
yes.
We should not be thinking about
his wife's
boobs.
Chest.
I don't know, you get a lot of pleasure from touching your weighted mouse, so I hope that you've touched boobs before.
See, I think that's cool. I want a weighted mouse now.
How do you even find something like that? Where did you
Dude, are you kidding?
Dude, There's are love, you kidding?
Are you kidding?
You just exposed your ignorance, dude.
Do you just live in like a bubble?
Dumbass.
Where do you
yeah,
find
well,
PC
you
gaming?
How do you
seriously, how are you? You need to be fired from this podcast.
Seriously, I'm the most important part of this podcast.
Oh my god,
he's the everyman of the podcast, Christopher.
Oh
that's
god.
What he is.
Very true.
Everyman,
you're the everyman. You're the one that everybody can relate to because you're the most normal.
He's the one big, who's most relatable. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So. We're starting off like that, but this is going to be a Jessica Jones episode. This is we're going to try to do some of these special episodes while you know, more often. I just talk about one subject, one thing, you know, versus, you know, the scene red play that we always do.
We're really going to geek out about it.
We are going to really geek about it.
It's worthy of a one shot for sure.
It really is.
You know, and it's easy because it's all available right now. It's not like over the course of months, like watching the series.
Yep.
There's 13 episodes. They're all on Netflix. You can just bust it out real quick, watch them, and then we can
give them the spoiler.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't want spoilers? Don't you know? Come back after you've watched all 13 episodes.
Stop right now.
Yep.
Exactly.
Listen.
We're
going to
talk about everything. Pause this.
Go binge watch the shit out of it.
Yes.
Finish and come back.
Well, so that's question number one. Question number one is,
right now,
should they binge watch? Yeah. Should they binge watch the show?
Yes.
Is it
absolutely.
Good enough?
Absolutely, they should binge watch this show.
But you will be traumatized.
Oh yeah.
I have
say
that
Let's nail this down. How quickly did you watch the series, Christopher? You watched it in 2 days.
Yes. 2 days. Damn.
2 days.
What about you, Patrick?
I think I did it over the course of a week because it was also finals week. So I watched like two at a time, like two every night. And then I went to bed or like had to go off and do studying.
That back. I watched it in three chunks. So 3 days. I watched it in three chunks. Three consecutive days.
The most I ever did in a row was four episodes. So that was pretty, you know.
There's
but
a total of 13.
There's a total of 13.
Yeah.
The last episode, I was on episode 12 and I could like stay up and watch the last one, but I went to bed and watched it the next day so that I could like really like focus on the finale.
Yeah,
I really wanted to be like an event, you know, something that I was excited about seeing.
I completely agree. No, I did it in four, just a little bit less than four, but I don't think I ever had a session where I only watched one episode at a time.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was always
like
a couple.
I was so ravenous.
Her trauma, but you watched it all in a couple sessions, and her trauma weighs on you.
The
psychological.
Oh my God! Right.
Well, let's.
I mean, it's so well done.
Kristen Ritter is so perfect in this role.
She's great.
It's, and I've just known her mostly as a comedic actress. She is. She did a sitcom called "Don't Trust the Bee" in Apartment 23.
Yeah.
Where it's just it's this really kind of broad sitcom.
I know her from Veronica Mars.
She was also in. What's that show with the drugs and the
she was in like season 2 where she played Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend.
Breaking Bad. That's right. That's
and
right.
she was also like the snarky friend in She's Out of My League.
Yes.
The blonde girl's snarky friend. She's got that. So like months and months ago you could listen to one of our episodes and we talked about how is she a good choice for this role? Because she had only played that snarky girl, that pain in the ass,
right?
You know, that's always pissed off, you know, never smiles, and we're like, could she play this role? I don't understand. But the way they took the character, where she's like, she's traumatized. She's got some dark things in her past that she's done. Perfect. Kristen Ritter was perfect for that.
She found a very, the depth that she's able to kind of give and the pain that you see her go through and work through and how it manifests itself is very well done.
I mean, it's really, it's at times really hard to watch because it's
totally
13 episodes of rape, essentially.
Yes. Yes. Ugh.
So
yeah,
it's a
drama,
so if you're looking for something cheery to watch, this is not it.
That's why I mean we'll talk about it, but that's why Kilgrave is one of the best and most chilling villains ever. His depiction. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name.
David Tennant.
Yeah.
Which I should.
He was so great.
He was so great.
The best doctor. The best doctor.
He was the best doctor, but in this, he's just unbelievably chilling as the villain in this because it's like, his power of control and what he's able to do and how he's able to psychologically torment her even after he's no longer able to actually control her.
Yes.
Is incredible. The writing was incredible. How the pacing was incredible, because it all built towards the final episodes, and it was just so well done in terms of that pacing and that never letting up on that trauma. She just never. It was really. It's tough. There are stretches where it's like, oh my God, this is just constantly shitting on her and her stress. Yeah, really.
Well,
really.
I mean, I've talked about it before, and it's such a simple idea that I learned back in college when I was taking writing courses. Like, whenever you tell a story, you've got the thing the story is about, and then you've got the other thing. This the story is about a superhero, a former superhero who creates a detective agency. Okay,
that's a person kind of, with powers.
A person with powers, yes. who works as a detective.
Right.
The other thing this story is about is dealing with the trauma of being a rape survivor.
This is,
which is incredible.
This
they
show
just, they do that in a superhero genre. This show is part of the larger
this show
Marvel
is
cinematic
a
universe.
Is a film noir, dude. She's a she's a PI. She gets a case that is unrelated to the case that she's already doing. The case, the first case that's unrelated ultimately is connected to the case she's already doing. Mm-hmm. That's all film noir has
standard stuff.
And has some kind of dark past where she's drinking and she's like, you know, she lost faith in humanity, but she's still good. That's all film noir, dude.
Well, she's also lost faith in herself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it's less about losing faith in humanity, although that's part of it because she's a PI and
she sees the worst in people.
Yeah, it's not happy-go-lucky.
She's supposed to find the worst in every single person she meets, basically.
Yeah.
She's paid to find the worst in everyone, which is... I mean, what does that just do to you? You're repeatedly encountering people doing terrible stuff.
And the lawyer who gives her work is a terrible, amoral person.
Completely amoral person. Yeah, I mean, Carrie Ann Moss, all-time, you know, sci-fi kind of pantheon because she was in the Matrix movies, played Trinity. She plays this completely amoral attorney. She's in every single episode, and she's Jessica's point of contact. She feeds Jessica work. She defends people Jessica, you know, asks her to defend that are in legal trouble, and she really does things for completely her own cheating on her wife
with her secretary.
Jessica, with her secretary.
more or less,
Jessica to. Dig up dirt on her doctor, you know, doctors without borders,
right.
Wife.
Did they ever explain? I might have missed that. Like, I was hoping for an explanation of why Jessica Jones and this lawyer are friends or connected to each other. Like, they never really pointed that out, did they?
Yeah, they never
how they became connected or how she became.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something that, you know, is interesting about this series too. There's not a lot of backstory. You don't really understand why Jessica Jones has her powers. You never really
they explain it in dribs and drabs.
Right.
And then when they start to sort of, we have some files, this person has some files that might be connected to what's going on, and then you get the flashback of the accident. And you get the flashback of the moment where it looks like chemicals and involves some kind of chemicals, and there's, you know, stuff that, you know, is splashes onto her and, you know, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get the full, this is the...
There's no origin.
This is the reason why she's like this. Right.
Which is so much better than the first, you know, two episodes explaining...
Right.
All of that.
She just has the powers.
She doesn't even show her powers until what? The second or third episode?
Well, I mean, she stops the car with her bare hands in the first episode. Like, she holds that car.
She has to serve that douchebag.
That's the first episode where she, like, finds that guy.
That's toward the end of the episode.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
She throws a guy through a window. Basically,
right.
She gets in kind of a fist fight in her office, and she throws a guy through the window. But you don't really. It's not like she throws him 20 feet, and he's
no.
Like,
I mean, it was.
Like, it's not like it's a Captain America
momentum.
Movie. Yeah, exactly.
They don't they don't make a thing of it, and then you get snippets of it, and then you really get snippets of it when she comes to the aid of Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
well, first of all, and I mean, we've already raved about two of the people in this season. This show. Let's talk about Luke Cage.
Casting was perfect.
So this is going to be the first time this happens, but I'm willing to admit it. Luke Cage, he gets the Not Ugly Award for this episode.
I totally agree.
He is
a 100%
beautiful man.
Beautiful.
beautiful black man.
That's 100% correct. He is gets the not
perfect,
beautiful, not ugly,
not ugly award. Yeah.
Well, let's give, okay. The actor's name is Mike Coulter.
He is so great.
He is
so perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Yes.
And I mean, I think among the three of us, Luke Cage has kind of been a favorite comic book character of ours for
years.
Power Man and Iron Fist.
Heroes for Hire.
I had tons of those as a kid.
I remember inheriting
yes.
Power Man and Iron Fist comics from you, Christopher.
Yes,
that was one of the first comics
I read. I read that all the time.
And I remember him having like an afro with like a with a bandana tied around his head.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That was and metal like wristbands and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so great.
Really, really terrible. But but so good. And that duo, those comics were great. Because he was really a badass. Great. He was a badass, unbreakable skin, super strong. And their team of Iron with his team with Iron Fist was so fun. Those comics were great.
Mm-hmm. So Luke Cage comes into the story. Yeah. He and Jessica have I wouldn't call it romance. They have a
relationship is complicated.
It's a complicated relationship.
There's a lot of banging going on.
There's a lot of banging.
Yeah,
there's some extreme no nudity.
Superpowered.
We can't hurt each other. Banging
exactly.
happening.
We're gonna go after it. Yeah.
Exactly. They let themselves enjoy the moment fully.
Yes. And then it devolves into this. Yet another great piece of the storytelling. Is that they are also connected, and she – you don't know why she is following him and why she has fallen for him. And then when you learn, it's like, oh, my God, this is all about guilt.
Yep.
Yeah. And her own like
– she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. It goes to – it takes – it goes – every character goes to another level in terms of your interaction with them and what they mean to the story and how you feel. And I mean, I said this to you, Christopher, and I think it's – I'll stand by it. I don't really like Jessica as a person.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be her
friend. She's unpleasant.
She is an unpleasant –
She's very unpleasant. Right.
Yeah. And not even in like – she's like trying to keep people at a distance so she's a little bit abrasive and everything else. She is generally – unpleasant.
Yes.
She's an unfriendly, unlikable person.
Unlikable protagonist. And that's the genius of the show.
Exactly.
Is that she is completely unlikable, but you're like, she's so compelling to watch.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, she's unlikable, but she has redeeming, qualities.
Right.
Oh, no,
Right. She wants to do good. She tried before. She has, good people around her who care about her. She chooses good things. She tries to, she's trying to save the girl that's being, tried for a crime she sort of didn't commit.
Right. The better term might be she is abrasive.
Right. She's very abrasive.
So she is unlikable because she is striving against, she is trying to do the right thing.
Yes. She is trying to do the right thing.
She's trying to save the girl. She's trying to defeat the bad guy.
Right.
But she's abrasive as hell.
She is not. She is not like the example that stands out in front of a team of.
She's not Captain America. No,
she's not Captain America.
She's the opposite.
You do not want to follow her. Yes, you do not want to follow.
She's not. She's like worse Iron Man. You know, snarky, angry, drinks a lot.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Kind of.
But Iron Man has a certain amount of charm. Really,
he's charm.
Doesn't
he's charm.
Even try to be charming.
She's not charming.
She doesn't try to ingratiate herself with anyone.
She grudgingly helps her neighbors. I mean, it's always a eye roll, and nobody else is going to do this, so I have to help.
Yeah, carrying the drug addict
die
friend.
From a drug overdose, then I'll help you.
You're right, exactly.
Right.
But it's not like she's I'm going to bring you a loaf of bread because you're hungry.
Well, and a lot of it is as she's moving through the process. A lot of it is all connected to Kilgrave, and she sees Kilgrave is manipulating everything around her in order to drive her to him, right?
Yes.
And then it's a fascinating example or examination, not example, but it's a really deep sort of examination of the idea of choice, the fixation.
the fixation of his ultimately toward the end of the series of the season, where he is very fixated with her making the conscious decision, and because he cannot control her, and he has never experienced since he got his powers, he's never experienced, and the enthusiasm he has for those moments of genuine someone choosing, and he doesn't have it. Everybody around him always does everything he wants them to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's just, you know, it's a pretty deep philosophical point about the nature of his power and what he was seeking for, and then ultimately how she turns that and uses that against him at the very end. I just found that to be fantastic. That how she tricked him into believing, and because it tapped into everything that he wanted in life or out of life, but then he was misguided, or he was deceived by his own longing for her, and thinks that, okay, my power works now on you because I've enhanced it in such a way. And she uses all of that against him in such a profound way. I found that to be fantastic. The end.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh yeah. The end to this is I mean, it's pretty bleak, but it's very fitting and works. And yeah.
Yeah, so dark. That so dark. The last half hour is so dark.
And yeah,
I'm freaking out at that moment on the docks when he takes – because my other favorite character is Jessica's best friend, right? She's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No, she's great.
So vulnerable.
Rachel Taylor, who plays Patsy.
Who's so
vulnerable.
Yeah. And
Holy crap.
She's Hellcat in the comics also.
She is.
And I don't – like they're talking about doing a Hellcat series also, but like she has no powers, so I don't know how they will fit that in.
She's a fighter. She's
a fighter.
Got skills.
Well, in the comics she has some. She's like special abilities, but I don't know. There's a couple unresolved questions from this series, like what else is on the thumb drive? What happened to the cop – the you know, military guy, cop who took all the drugs, went crazy and tried to kill Jessica in her apartment.
He becomes like a Punisher.
He's Nuke.
Character.
He's Nuke
right.
in
yeah.
the comics.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's more of a bad guy than Punisher.
He's a bad guy who's been manipulated by the government or some kind of Black
Yet
Ops.
Another attempt at a
Captain America
soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that goes bad.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, what happens with him? What happened with that organization? Are we going to see them again? What else? Why was Luke Cage's wife digging up that stuff? Why did she know about that? You never get an answer. Right. You never get an answer for that.
I mean, that's because Cage talks about he got his unbreakable skin through an experiment, and it was the same. I think they're all connected.
Right.
I think they are, too.
He was being experimented on, and the serum that was used on him manifested itself in a different way than it manifested itself in the Nuke guy and others. And she clearly was somehow connected with that experimentation because she had the information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say that the mystery with all these characters deepens throughout the season, and it really only resolves kind of Jessica's, you know, the arc that it creates in the first episode about how Jessica is finally going to free herself of Kilgrave is really all that this season sets out to do, and it does that, and it leaves kind of all this meat for more seasons.
Yeah, it's great.
In terms of but you don't feel like it's cheap. You don't feel like, you know, oh, I wish they gave me more. I wish they gave me this. I wish they gave me that. Why didn't this mystery resolve? I was so unsatisfied. The how the season wraps up and the arc that is completed by the end of the season is totally satisfying. It's great storytelling when you feel like you can create this world, you can create these characters and how they interact, and you really only resolve probably 50 to 75% of the questions that you propose throughout the course of the season, and the viewer feels totally fine with that. They're like, you know what? I have gone on a ride, and I have experienced these things, and I have come to really like these characters. And
right.
Jessica's story in the first season is wrapped up, but there's whole other questions and you know, mysteries that need to be figured out.
Right. Finish it and you wanting more, and that's exactly how they should do it.
Oh, and they're going to give them another season. We can just touch on the response to this series has been almost universally positive, if not almost over the top, like effusive about how much people like this season.
Well, and
how much
they like the nurse, the night nurse crossover.
Yeah. Marvel cinematic universe. They
really great. She's a great character, and she's got tons more personality and tons more opportunity to shine in this series than she did in Daredevil, which really made me happy. She's her scenes in this show are so much better, in my opinion.
Than
in Daredevil.
But you understand the depth of what she has experienced and what kind of, you know, who she is because you met her in Daredevil and because you know what she went through in Daredevil and you understand her and the affection you feel for her in every scene is
you
only.
You can definitely watch it without having watched Daredevil, or you can appreciate it. But you get a hell of a lot more, in my view, you get a hell of a lot more out of her character having watched Daredevil because of exactly what you said. You have all that backstory, and you understand what she sort of how she's processing all of this.
Here's a question for you guys that somebody asked me. Do you like this series better or worse than Daredevil?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think they have just different strengths. I mean, they're both in that film noir kind of vein in terms of a dark story set in the street in an urban setting. I rewatched a few episodes of the season one of Daredevil after I finished Jessica Jones. Daredevil's almost like a kung fu series.
Right.
The fist fighting and kind of the action in Daredevil is great. So, and really there's very little of that in Jessica Jones. She's not a martial artist. She's not a fighter. I mean, she's a person. When she hits you, you get knocked out.
Yeah.
She doesn't have fight scenes. There's one fight scene between her and Luke Cage at the end of episode 12 that goes on for a few minutes.
Yeah, and then the fight scene with the cop guy who's all on drugs.
Exactly.
But that's about it. I mean, that's
in terms of like long action sequences. I mean, there's a couple other shorter ones, but there's not. I mean, Daredevil's just maybe a different kind of show. And it tells a different story.
I have to say I like Jessica Jones better, more.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Yep. Because I appreciated much more the storytelling and the character arc and the issues that they were dealing with were all a lot more profound, interesting to me than the kid with a hard life and a father with poor judgment and questionable friends a disability, quote unquote. I found Jessica Jones a lot more of a compelling character, a lot more interesting in terms of her arc and what she was dealing with. I thought it was a better show.
Wow.
There are episodes of Daredevil that are like, just filler.
It does lull.
Yeah, and there isn't any episode of Jessica Jones that I wasn't
I think it could have been two episodes shorter, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they could have gotten to the point. I think I got a little tired of the cat and mouse game towards the end there.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have moved things along a little fast. I don't know.
It could have been. It maybe could have been 12 instead of 13.
I like Jessica Jones more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that's good. No, like, I mean, it's a really good show. I think they're both really good, and it's tough to tell. I really like the, like Andrew said, I really like the action in Daredevil a lot. The character of Jessica Jones is a lot more interesting, and this is, like, obviously a darker show. Daredevil's not dealing with whether he should do it or not. He's dealing with, like, you know,
he's dealing with the consequences of what he wants to do.
Right, exactly.
He can't stop himself.
Fisk is more interesting
than Daredevil. Daredevil.
Right.
The reality is Vincent D'Onofrio made that.
He's so good.
But made Fisk into something so compelling that it overshadowed Charlie Cox.
But Kilgrave.
Charlie Cox does a great job.
Kilgrave is so Matt good, Murdoch. Dude. Like,
he's great. Oh,
like,
he's great.
Ugh,
he might be the best villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Dude, he was so evil and perfect.
Yep.
Okay, and I will say this. There was a couple of scenes, and, you know, I have a problem with gore. Like, it's not, like, when it's obviously movie gore, I have a problem with it, but this show was so real that when the girl is told to, like, cut Carrie Ann Moss, like, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yes. My... Dude, I had to, like, look away.
Yeah,
because it was really scary because it was so violent.
And then there was another
she
one.
She cannot.
Well,
stop
realistically
herself.
Violent. I mean, it wasn't cartoony at all. It was. Oh my God, she's cutting her.
Like just little Kilgrave superficial cuts all over.
Kill her with 1,000 cuts, and she's going to do it.
And then
the scene where, like, Kilgrave's mother, you know. Big spoiler, but you know, he tells her to stab herself with the scissors.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's
stressful. Yeah, and hard to watch. For
and
sure.
when
goes back to the deep seated. Like, oh my God, you're not in control of your
exactly.
Act.
No, that's why it's so hard. Yeah.
Everybody's watching that, and they're traumatized because, like, oh my God, you know, they did such a good job of imagining or presenting for the viewer being totally out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, you're not able to control your actions. And then they did such a good job.
But you're not able to resist.
Exactly.
Like, that's the juxtaposition that, you know, Jessica is super powered.
Yeah.
She has super strength. She can kill you with one punch.
Yep.
And she cannot resist him.
Knowing that you can't and being
totally
conscious.
Totally powerless
of that lack of a choice. Yeah.
And they played up her trauma, like, perfectly. Like, she's totally trauma. Like, and there's, like, a group that meets up that's Kilgrave survivors.
Right.
You know, to deal with their
therapy group.
That's real. Like, people would do that because
I'm sure they would.
Because they need to talk about what it feels like to be out of control.
Trauma, any kind of a trauma,
right.
You know, rape survivors or
totally.
War crimes or whatever.
God, exactly. It's so smart. The writing is so fantastic that they thought
about.
No,
we got to give a shout. The showrunner, Melissa Rosenberg is her name.
Fantastic.
We got to shout out to her. She does an amazing job writing
fantastic.
And creating the entire series. It's fantastic how she pulls it all off. So, yeah. How long have we been going on about this, Patrick?
good 30 minutes. Yeah. So we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah. Do we have any
last thoughts?
Last thoughts on Jessica Jones. I cannot wait for Jessica Jones season 2, whenever that's going to happen. But Luke Cage should be, you know, in the pipeline as well. They introduced the character of Luke Cage.
Well, is he going to be in the Iron Fist show?
No, he is going to have his own show.
Oh, good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, you don't know the concept of all of this? The concept...
I thought he was going to be in Iron Fist show.
Oh, no. Here's the idea with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the shows they are producing for Netflix is Daredevil. They're introducing Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage is going to have his own series.
They're going to do the Defenders.
And then Iron Fist is going to have his own series.
Okay.
And then they're going to have, like, a mini series.
Well, I'm very psyched about this whole world that they're creating in Hell's Kitchen in New York because it's terrific. Yeah,
it is.
If they're all even close to being as good as Jessica Jones, they're kick ass. So
they really are.
Really good.
So I can't wait for Luke Cage. Whenever that's going to happen, we should get Daredevil season 2. I think before Luke Cage comes out. because Daredevil season two is, I think, pretty close to
being
done.
Then Netflix talked about how this year they had 16 series and they're going to double that next year. So they're going to have 31.
Bless you.
We're going to have 31
original Netflix series.
Original series next year.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're going to have a lot of stuff working. So last thoughts, Christopher, on Jessica Jones?
Last thoughts. If you haven't watched it, well, obviously, if you've listened to
the end.
You
ruined it. Sorry.
Sorry. But,
honestly, we touched on about 5% of what this show actually does.
I know. I feel like you could still watch it and not be too
certainly
spoiled.
My reactions are it's one of the best things I've seen in the last few years. It's a great show.
I don't think that's hyperbole.
Yep.
I think you're right on
that. What I think is interesting about like Netflix original series is it's sort of like unrated. You know, like, what would this be? I mean, obviously, this couldn't be on like NBC, but like, it could be on like WGN or something. The sex, there's no nudity. The violence is pretty rough, but it's not
there's
like
no nudity.
Horrible.
It would have to be on like. It's like a Walking Dead level gore.
Right. Walking Dead has
the F word, and you don't see any nudity.
Do they swear? Do they say the F word? I don't even remember.
They don't say the F word. They say shit a lot.
They say shit a lot. Okay.
They make sexual references, but they don't. Yeah. So that's kind of where
it's interesting that
Television Council.
I mean, they could have gone. I mean, it's Marvel, so they probably Marvel and Disney, so they probably didn't want to go fully like adult with it, where they could have done Jessica Jones naked, or actual sex scene, or like ramped up the gore even more. But it's kind of interesting that it's like this in between where it's sort of gory, a little bit of swearing, it's adult,
it
but
is
not
adult,
right? It is very adult, but it's not like. Completely
not an R
sexed up R, or completely like she rips a dude's head off. I guess Kingpin does slam a dude's head in a
he decapitates
door.
A guy with a car door.
Yeah.
He
legitimately does.
That was the most violent thing in that series for sure.
Oh my gosh, crazy. Yep.
So, thanks for listening. This is just like a one shot episode on Jessica Jones. We will return to our normal podcasting for next episode. You should follow us on Twitter. Brothers_geek at twitter.com. You should visit the website brothersgeek.com. You should write us some emails about what you thought about Jessica Jones at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com.
Facebook page,
go and follow us on facebook.com/brothersgeekpodcast. Awesome. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Come here, boy. Come here.
Every day is the same old roundup. Every day, same old way out west. No more cattle I'll be counting. No more coming round the mountain. Getting high, yo, silver off my chest. You can have your hills and valleys and your home out on the range. But here's one lonesome cowboy who's pining for a change. Take me back to the wide open places where a guy gets as high as a kite. Yes, yes. On those small, narrow spaces in the wide open places that are open all night. My, my.
Tony, fix me another one.